6:11 in the morning. David Bowie did at 69. You're an old disc jockey, and I happen to know a couple. It's one of the greatest intros of any song ever. One thing it ruined is when the lyrics started.
Oh, I like this song.
Oh, I like the song. Fine. Fun song to yak over. David Bowie died this weekend, yesterday apparently, at the age of 69. His brand new album came out on Friday. Been dealing with cancer, not sure what type, and kept it very private. Apparently died with family, friends, and that's the way he should go out. But 69, too young. 69's not old. 69.
It's really not old.
69. Rolling Stones, at 60, the Rolling Stones wish they were 69. 69 is still like rock and roll career stuff. I've had this thing in my head for a long time, rock and roll nursing home.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I started writing it. I just think the idea of old rock stars just creating havoc in a nursing
yeah.
home.
Yeah.
And David Bowie would have been the fashion director.
Oh, big time. I always liked him. So. Even when he went through the weird Ziggy Stardust.
I was never a huge Bowie music fan, but I mean, a huge star, obviously.
But you know what? You got to give him credit for reinventing himself decade after decade.
Well, he was Madonna before Madonna. He was Gaga before Gaga, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a male equivalent to all of that. You know what we should get on today is Dennis DeYoung. I'm sure Dennis DeYoung, a huge rock star in the 70s and 80s. You probably knew him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if we can call Dennis later.
Elton John is kind of a little like the male Lady Gaga.
Not like Bowie. Bowie was the guy that dressed up and you know, crossed genders.
Yeah.
Elton John was just big glasses.
And boas.
Yeah, they do the boas.
And feather boas.
6:13. Hey, speaking of feather boas, joining us on the telephone is Channel 9's own feather boa, Paul Conradesi on the phone.
Hello.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Were you a David Bowie fan?
Nope. Nope. Couldn't name one of his songs. I'm generally against music. I don't understand it.
You're against music. You've been a singer your whole
right.
life.
And I've come to a point now where I've realized it has done nothing but get me into trouble. So I'm now, I look at it like it's a dangerous drug.
Well, you know what? It leads to dangerous drugs.
Right?
We know that.
Look at the worst problems in our society. Generally, they come from musicians.
Is that right?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's another one of your spot-on conclusions.
Yep. I don't want to overgeneralize,
no.
but, you know.
No. Yep. Hey, last week, or was it 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
You were nice enough to put me on to do a plug for the New Year's Eve show, and I showed a picture of my my granddaughter.
Yes.
Guess what? Her dad showed up for work.
Really? Good for him. As he should.
Good morning, Ross. How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
Ross, welcome congratulations.
Back. Welcome
Thanks,
back,
Paul.
Ross.
That's
Thanks.
Great. I'm excited for you.
Apparently, I'm the only one on the show that's excited to have you back.
Welcome back, Ross.
Welcome back earlier.
Talked to him off the air.
Yeah.
The show jerks. Actually happens on here.
Bunch of jerks.
Hey, welcome back, Ross. Congratulations, buddy.
Glad to see nothing's changed.
You look tired.
Are you sleeping at all, Ross?
Yeah. Abigail's doing great. Lauren's doing well. And, the sleep, that is the advantage of this crazy schedule, is the sleep wasn't that different.
Right. You didn't have that much before. You don't have that much now.
Right.
Paul, you know, you have been a father now for how long?
I'm going to say 13 years.
But Klaus isn't 13.
I know he is. He turned 13.
Come on.
Yeah. Could you believe it?
13?
Yeah, 13.
All right. So 1 month advice. Ross's daughter is 3.5
right.
weeks old. 1 month advice.
Right. Be scarce. She has no need for you at all. Zero. You can take a picture of yourself and put it on her crib.
Cool.
And that'll be enough. You know, show up. Maybe what my psychotherapist has been telling me, you show up for 10 minutes and visit and then get the hell out of there because chances are you're going to mess her up. That's what she's telling me. And I'm just, I don't want to project.
Showing up for 10 minutes, it sounds a lot like your work day, Paul.
Right. Right. But listen, this is the mother's time. She really wants to be with that child. The child wants her. You're not going to be coming into play for about another 4 or 5 years.
No, that's not true at all.
No, it is true.
No, it's not true.
Yeah, yeah. Once she's
two years, maybe three.
It depends. 2-3 years. But relax during this time. Get sleep. Take care of yourself. Get to the gym.
Okay.
You know, maybe take a vacation.
Perfect.
Because you,
perfect
you are
for
not.
That.
You are an afterthought. It's your wife and this precious baby. Don't get in the way and screw it all up.
I tell you, that's motivational.
Yeah.
It is.
That is the kind of thing that really can help a young father.
No question
Isn't
about
he
it.
He needed to change a few diapers once in a while?
For who?
Well, for his wife, so she stays on the good side a little bit. He's got to stay on his
well, that's,
the good
you
side.
Do that in your 10 minutes.
Oh.
So he should block out 10 minutes a day
ten
for
minutes
his new
a day.
Daughter.
And make it be there for the 10. Like,
but
put
they
the
say
phone
that,
down.
They say that a little baby can only see, like, shadows.
Right. That's why you put the picture up. So, you can put a dog or a cat in there. She won't know
I was
going to
say a picture like a big balloon or something
yep.
that could float.
Yeah, anything. A roast beef sandwich.
So put a roast beef sandwich
in the crib. Your time will come, but it's not
it
now.
All right. So again, Ross, the lesson from Daddy Paul.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Is get out of the house.
Perfect.
Yeah. Live.
I get will write
out, like,
that
travel
one down.
The world. Get to Europe. There's so much great stuff that you can do. And now's the time because you're going to be by yourself. In a couple of years, you're going to have to take everyone with you, and it'll ruin right. everything. So get out there and live it up.
All right. So, again, don't be around a baby now.
Just 10 minutes. And when you focus, when you're there on those 10, give her everything.
And it
eye
sounds like it's, and it sounds like starting at the age, in your case, of 4 or 5.
Then you
life,
show up.
Life gets sucked out from you, and
yes,
you never get it back
that part,
again.
The party's over then.
All right. You've been listening to Tips on Fatherhood.
You're welcome.
Paul Conrad. Thanks, buddy.
All right. I love you.
Yeah, you too there, Schnookums.
Be careful.
Bye-bye. I was going to give you a chance to ask Paul some questions, but I really didn't want him to answer any.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that was going to be a good idea.
Yeah. You and your sister actually appeared to be interested in me by the time that you were, you know, 2 at the outside.
Yeah. Mom told us.
Year and a half to 2.
Mom told us that we should be interested in you, otherwise it'd make you sad.
Right, right. Which was true.
Yeah.
But then after that, you thought I was pretty cool till, you know, at least 4.
Yeah.
4 and
Sounds
a half.
That's about right. That's yeah, my memory,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thanks.
And,
good to be back.
And any questions for Ross? Any needs at all? You guys want to start asking him to do stuff for you?
Well, we'll kind of help you ease back into it, I think.
Right. Oh, yeah, because the jarring schedule we keep around here. Don't come in all at one time. Did you stretch before the show started today?
I did.
Okay. Best thing you've had in the last 3.5 weeks?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Anything in particular?
Oh, it was the exact amount of right of time off. I was excited to come back. I was ready to come back. Lauren and Abigail were ready for me to get back out of the house. It's been great. So thanks everyone here for their support, and glad to be back.
And what's the favorite thing to do with your daughter?
Right after a diaper change and you pick her back up, she looks at you like, "What the was that?"
You need to protect me from that because people keep changing stuff.
Right, exactly. So that's okay. Always very amusing.
Okay, good.
You look like you lost some weight.
Well, that's what happens when you don't eat.
Well, yeah.
So you're not eating.
No. I got to make sure. Abigail doesn't eat, so I'm just doing what Abigail does. Abigail, you know, doesn't have a food budget, so why should I?
Yeah. Well, she's eating just fine. She's
yes.
eating what baby should be eating. So, all right. One more from you later.
Sounds good.
Mary, do you have something to contribute to this effort at this point? Maybe in the form of traffic? Playing a lot of Bowie music this morning. He died this weekend. He was 69 of cancer. What is this one?
Suffragette City.
Right. Oh, yeah. We did a pom-pom routine to this in high school.
Yeah?
It's awesome.
Were you dating a football player then?
No.
What's the point of being a pom-pom?
Why do you have to date a football player if you're a pom-pom?
No, I just thought it was... I saw Grease. I thought that's how it works.
I think he was a tennis player.
Oh, okay. Oh, the tennis players. We had fun with those. We used to hang tennis players in lockers.
What?
Oh, yeah. So.
You know, Bowie's death kind of hit me like Whitney Houston's just because it was so unexpected. You know, you hear this early this morning... David Bowie died. Same thing with when Whitney Houston died.
Out of
it's like,
nowhere.
What?
Yeah.
Like a pop icon that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, and 69, so, yeah. He's a little younger than Jagger.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they did Dancing in the Street?
I like that song. I really did.
I did too.
Love that remake.
Critics hate that more than anything else Jagger or David Bowie ever did, but it's fun.
I think I have that on my iPod, my phone.
Yeah. Just a couple of super skinny Brits running around London. Dancing kind of oddly.
Wearing weird clothes. Weren't they wearing like long robes? Yeah, in that, Bowie was?
That was an MTV played videos. Remember that? 80s and 90s?
I do remember that.
David, you had a question?
No, I was just, I thought it was, when I got up this morning and saw on Twitter that he had died.
Yeah.
And it had apparently broken about an hour or so before I got up. It was about 2 o'clock this morning, I think, is when the news broke.
Right.
Does that sound right?
Yeah. Early.
And I was amazed how many people were awake at that hour tweeting about David Bowie's death at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, but you think about it. The people that would most be interested in a rock icon are up selling drugs at that hour. So, or they're doing more.
Or they never went
shows.
To bed. Yeah.
Or many were in England, too, because obviously the time difference. Like David Cameron was tweeting, which I thought was pretty cool.
Well, it's interesting, too, that Dave Bennett only follows British people.
Yes.
No, it was actually a lot of, like, sports guys in this country were tweeting about it at 2 in the morning. I just thought it was odd.
Is it just odd. Brits or the whole UK do you follow?
If it's British. It's 6:25. Golden Globes were last night.
You know what, though? I have to say.
Intermission. I checked in during hockey intermission.
It stunk.
And, no, you guys.
Every award was a show that I don't watch.
Oh. I thought I liked it.
Ricky Gervais.
I liked it. You know what I liked about it, too, is that the same people tend to win every year. I think Jeffrey Tambor is an awesome actor, but he wins every year. And he didn't this time. I couldn't tell you who did.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus didn't either.
I love her, but again, she wins every year. It's nice to get some of the new, the new actors up there, too.
Yeah.
I like that part. And the fashions were awesome.
Were they?
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence. I know you used to look so disinterested.
I was completely disinterested.
Jennifer Lawrence, stunning. Yeah. Stunning.
Amy Schumer, not so much.
Not so much. She's so vulgar.
What'd
did you see? They bleeped her when she used
the
choice word, and she just... She has to be Amy Schumer, which I'm just not a fan of hers
they
anyway.
They bleeped a lot.
Well, yeah, that was annoying,
Ricky
the bleeping.
I give Ricky Gervais credit because he says things that should get him banned from show business.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But, and it happens at the Oscars. It happens everywhere. Announce my name as a winner.
And now, the award goes to Steve Cochran.
What?
Are you Kate Winslet?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Come on.
You have, you know what?
You were not, listen,
I know.
Listen, it takes a tremendous ego to be in show business. All of us, on some level, including you three, are narcissistic goofballs. Because, yes, you are, Dave. Because you have to believe that you have some reason to believe that people care what you have to say. Or would like to see you on TV saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Exponentially greater than that are people that become movie and television stars.
Yeah, completely.
You become a movie or a television star, the idea that you're normal in any way, shape, or form, give me a friggin' break.
Well, you know what always makes me laugh? Okay, the Kate Winslet that you just did right now, she does that all the time.
Is that what she did?
Oh, my God. She won the first award of the night.
That was me doing everyone that wins an award.
Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, you go and you have a 1 in 5 chance.
And your ego is so big, you have to have assumed you might win.
Right.
I don't care if you were like the most outlandish nominee that has no shot winning in the category. You're in show business. At some point in your head, you picture yourself winning. So the idea that you're in a full 5-alarm panic when your name is announced is just, come on.
Get right. up and Completely. Get up there. You know, they just sit there and then they're shaking hands with everybody on the way up. It's like, hurry up.
They honored your lookalike.
Oh, that? Yeah,
special
Denzel.
Special tribute to Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I missed that.
Great clips. That
was it was good. Me? They did, yeah. I took a double take. I was like, wait a minute. Good thing I recorded it because I went back and looked and I was like, is that Cochran or Denzel?
Yeah, but then he brought his family up and I realized it wasn't your family.
It wasn't you.
Yeah. Well, that's usually how people tell is when I'm with other people. Was El Chapo there?
Did not see El Chapo.
So that maybe that was part of the extradition. They took him to the Golden Globes first before they bring him to Chicago.
Did not see El Chapo.
You know,
El
we might have El Chapo
there.
Here. El Chapo could end up here.
That's right. And did you hear that they caught him using a piece of information from the Sean Penn interview?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sean Penn apparently did the interview last fall. So now you got to go, okay. And nobody's talking about this. Why did he do the interview? He was researching a role?
Yeah. It was for a research for, I don't know if it wasn't the role of El Chapo, but it was for a role that he's taking on.
Okay, given the opportunity, well, I can't ask you because you actually do news. Dave, given the opportunity to interview a major sports figure who is a criminal on the run, would you do it? And would you keep it quiet for particularly selfish reasons, like you had a book coming out or you were doing a profile piece?
So you're not talking about interviewing him in prison, but interviewing him in a secret, undisclosed location.
On the run.
While he was...
Unbeknownst to authorities.
And I'm talking about a criminal on the run, like, say, Ditka.
Yeah. Maybe a bad example, but no, I don't think I would do that. I mean, I think for a number of reasons, including my personal safety.
Yeah. Yeah, I listen.
I would, you know what? You can ask me. I would do it, but then I would turn him in. I would say I'm going to do this interview.
It's like different rules. As a journalist, you're like doing a news story. Sean Penn's not doing a news story.
Correct.
He's researching a role.
Yeah. So it's completely self-serving.
Powerball's up to $1.2 billion. It will be $1.4, maybe $1.5. Is it tomorrow night or Wednesday night?
Wednesday.
On Wednesday night. Wow, I bet it's $1.5. I bet it gets to $1.5 billion. And that'll be close to $1 billion after taxes. Who's got time to spend that kind of money? That's some of the stuff going on. What's that?
I won $4. Saturday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So you're splitting it with us. You said you were splitting in any winnings with us.
Yeah.
We would all do that.
Let's see. That would be...
We got like eight people on this show.
You get a quarter and you get a quarter.
Well, it's 50 cents actually, Dave. 50 cents before taxes.
But you count Kevin and Ross? And...
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody on the show. So I think that's eight bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All in. Orion called. He wants his cut. It's
Steve Alexander.
Steve Grzanich is new, but he says he wants to get paid. It's 6:31. Let's get to the big story. Andrea Darlis is here. And no sponsor on this segment, Andrea, but let me just here take out my 50 cents Dave just gave me, and I'd like to sponsor this segment.
Oh, good. Change.
Each Monday, we talk a little health with Dr. Most.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
If you've reached the age where you can hurt yourself sleeping.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
That's why we're giving out Dr. Most's home phone number this morning.
The WGN hotline.
Or that.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine, Central DuPage Hospital. Northwestern Medicine impact every day. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
All right. How was your weekend?
Not bad. You know, this cold weather's getting here, so it's just time to buckle down and kind of stay in and read books.
You sound like you're a little sniffly.
Yeah, I've got this little cold that's been kind of hanging around here for a little while.
You haven't been around sick people, have you?
No, none at all. Nope. Nope.
How does anyone that works in a hospital every day not be sick all the time?
I'll tell you, one of the biggest things is washing your hands. You know, we've proven that over and over and over again. But still, someone's going to sneeze in your face, someone's going to cough in your face, and you're going to get a little cold, and we just struggle through it.
And, of course, the nurses are the front line of that.
They are phenomenal, and they do. They really, when we talk about doctors going into rooms and seeing patients, we're in there for, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Nurses are in there for 8 hours. So, right. Yeah, they are the frontline people.
All right, we're going to talk about headaches. We're also going to talk about maybe a little whooping cough. But let me ask you about David Bowie. We don't know much yet, but at 69, a cancer death isn't unusual. But is there anything indicative of anything you've seen in the reporting that would tell you what type of cancer he may have been dealing with, or is there just nothing out there?
No, you know, he fought for 18 months, so we look at, you know, what kind of cancers could that time frame be, and there's quite a few of them. So it's really difficult to say. You know, I totally understand the privacy issue with the family, but sometimes it's nice to highlight what type of cancer it was for awareness for other people, to increase, you know, screening, increase research opportunities. So totally understand that. But 18 months, it could have been a brain tumor, could have been pancreas, could have been a whole bunch of different things.
It's interesting, too. You see a guy that doesn't have any of the usual health markers. You know, he was always a skinny guy.
Yep.
He was an active guy. I think he probably smoked, but I don't think after the 70s, he never had a big drug phase, did he? I don't remember that. I don't remember any big booze issues with him. So it seemed like he led a fairly healthy life. Then he marries a supermodel, so I'm guessing they're not doing racks of ribs every night at the house. But it doesn't matter. And that's why it's so important to continue the research funding we do. You know, I get frustrated like everybody else, and I'm sure people in the medical community do. We throw billions and billions and billions of dollars at cancer. What do we know? Well, the truth is we know a lot more now than we did before, right?
oh, it's amazing what we know now versus what we knew 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Even the treatment advancements have gone up, you know, dramatically. So, you know, people shouldn't get discouraged. You know, a study just came out that showed that 22 states right now, the number one cause of death is cancer. Well, 10 years ago, 50 states, it was heart disease. So you say, oh my gosh, cancer, look what's happening with cancer. And you can also flip it around and say, no, we're starting to treat heart disease much better, and now people are dying of cancer. So it's something that we struggle with, and you know, it's we're making advancements, whether it's identification, prevention, treatment, but we have to have a little bit of time here too.
Yeah, and I think the other thing we need to remember too is cancer, like arthritis, and I suppose to a lesser extent heart disease, is an umbrella term for a number of different conditions that can have different cures and different outcomes and certainly different treatments. So we all sort of put it in one basket. I think it's more than possible that we will in our lifetime have some sort of cure for a particular type of cancer that maybe doesn't work for all cancers.
Oh, absolutely. And you hit it right on the head. You know, when we say cancer, we're talking about hundreds of different types of cancer. So some of them we've had great advancements to a point where if caught early enough, we can say we're going to cure you and you're going to be in remission forever. Others are still a little bit more frustrating for us, and those are the ones that we need to put some research dollars towards.
So. All right, so we'll come back. We'll talk about migraines. Did you ever suffer from migraines? I never have.
I never have either, you know, and very fortunate because after you treat patients who have had migraines, you really start to feel sorry for them, and you really it's a frustrating disease. So we'll touch on a few points.
And some whooping cough as well. Is it whooping cough season, or are we just seeing a lot of it?
No, we're just seeing a lot of it, and that's what happens. We get these outbreaks, and it's good that you're bringing it up for awareness because this is one that we can essentially prevent with immunization, and people need to know who needs to be immunized and what to look for.
I'll check the text, too, at 312-981-7200. Steve Cochran Show continues with Dr. Kevin Most. We'll do traffic here. Mary's back with your traffic. Dr. Kevin Most, Central DuPage Hospital and Northwestern Medicine Impact every day. Doc, before we get to what we were going to talk about here, from the 847, can you ask Dr. Most about shingles? My 50-year-old husband has it. General shingles information?
Yeah. First, I say, ouch, and I'm sorry that he has it. Shingles is caused by a virus, the same virus that causes chickenpox. So if you had chickenpox, it's in your body. It's still there living, but the immune system keeps it under control. When we get under stress or we get a little immunocompromised, the shingles virus starts to multiply. It'll follow along one nerve, and it just inflames a nerve. And it's very, very, very uncomfortable. So the treatment for it is try to knock down that pain as much as you can. Sometimes we just use anti-inflammatories. Other times we have to use strong narcotics. The big message here is if you're over the age of 55, get that shingles shot, which is going to prevent you from getting shingles because this is a terrible, painful, ugly disease, and it's not a lot of fun. Anybody who's had it will tell you, get the shot. It'll protect you from getting shingles.
And from a 773, if you were an infant that only got two doses of pertussis due to a bad reaction, can you be tested to check your immunity somehow?
Yeah, you know, when people get bad reactions to vaccines, it's very important that they do see a pediatric allergist, and there's many good ones around, because you still want to make sure, are there other ways to get that protection? And especially when you start talking about some of the childhood diseases, whether it's measles, mumps, rubella, pertussis, there's a whole bunch there that we really protect. So if it's sometimes it's due to something that's in the vaccine, and if that's the case, then they can go to other manufacturers. But it's good to see a pediatric allergist to make sure which one would be safe for their next dose.
Doc, it's already 11 days into the new year. We've all kind of tried to eat a little healthier, given up a few things that maybe aren't so good for us. So last night at our family dinner, there was talk being thrown around about doing some of these races, you know, some of these Shamrock Shuffle, and it was also brought up that, you know, you shouldn't just jump right into that. You should do some sort of a training program. So maybe not today because the weather's going to be in the teens, but your thoughts on if you want to start doing some of this and making exercise, you know, a bigger routine in your life, how do you go about it safely?
Yeah, it's a good point, Andrea, because now you're starting to see, you know, dash up the towers for lung disease, and you are starting to see some of these things that we're trying to get people more active by having events that promote a charity and that also are active. So it's really important for people to ease into things, because if you say, I'm going to run the Shamrock Shuffle and I'm not going to do anything now because it's cold, and then all of a sudden I think I'm going to go out and run a few miles, it's not good for your heart, it's not good for your lungs, it's not good for your joints. So starting on a low-level, low-impact exercise, if you haven't, is great, and then work your way up. Whether that's starting just with walking on a treadmill or walking in a mall if it's this cold, but getting your heartbeat up and getting your heart rate up and getting your flexibility up. Stretching is almost as important in some of these cases as just trying to get your cardio up as well.
So I don't eat chocolate anymore. Mary doesn't eat chocolate anymore except for this weekend when she cheated.
Dang, you caught me.
Andrea's getting it done with the Seattle Sutton situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going great.
That's the new name of the program, right? The
Seattle Sutton Healthy Eating. Yeah, this is the Seattle Sutton situation. It's awesome. Food's great. It's really good.
Good. And Dave?
I've not had a glass of wine.
But in regards to what Dr. Most was just talking about, Kevin, who hadn't been working out really in a while, went out and started running 3 miles a day the other day, Doc.
Good for Kevin.
Yeah, and his knee hurts.
Yeah. I mean, again, I wouldn't rush right into it, but that's
even at 26,
3 miles is okay for someone who's 26. That's not a problem.
Yeah, I'll battle through. No fast food though for me.
That's awesome.
Staying strong,
really great. And I'd go back to Dave. You know, red wine is actually good for your health. So I mean, again, when we talked about what you guys were going to quit, a glass, 2 glasses of red wine is good for your health. So that one we might give Dave a reprieve on that.
Well, you may, as a doctor. We're not giving him a reprieve on the show. We're not here to keep Dave alive. We're here to keep him to his plan. Kevin, with the sharp knee pain, what do you think we should do for him? Put him into some sort of assisted care facility until he feels better?
Well, probably stop running 3 miles. That might be the first thing I would do. Mm-hmm. And probably, like I said, kind of ease back into exercise.
How about swimming, Kev? Do you swim?
I love to swim. Yeah, maybe I'll start swimming.
Swimming's really good for your knees.
Swimming is great. Very low impact on all of your joints, and yet you can still get a good cardiovascular workout.
See, I'm not a good swimmer, so when I swim, it's more of a cardiovascular threat because I'd be in the water going, help! Help! It's not nearly as good as the regular way that people swim.
The little floaty things on your arm, too. It's just embarrassing.
Yep. All right, migraines. Do we know what causes migraines?
You know, see, there's 40 million people with migraines, and you think, gosh, we should know what causes them, and really we don't. We have some good ideas. We think that it's mainly one nerve called the trigeminal nerve, and we've looked at it and said, okay, what could it be? And we just fortunately just had some very good research that came out of University of California at San Francisco that might be kind of breakthrough, and we'll see if it pans out. But if we look at what we do for migraines now, our biggest push has been, how do we treat migraines? In other words, I come in with a migraine, what medication, what can we do to treat the pain? The people at UCFS said, wait a second, what if we stopped the migraine from even happening in the first place? We wouldn't have to worry about this. So that's what their research is on right now. And they've had just a great study that's just coming through, and it may pan out and be very popular.
And people that get migraines sort of have a sense of when they're coming, but when they talk about an aura, I never understood that.
Yeah, so people that have classic migraines, they'll have something called an aura, and that aura is sometimes flashing lights. So they don't have a headache at all, but yet they're going to see some lights, or they're going to see some flickering lights. Some of them just smell an odor that no one else can smell, like, oh, no. That's a good thing with migraine sufferers, because it allows them to get to a safe environment, because when people can get migraines, they can be devastating to a point where they can't even function. So think about that. If you're driving a car and you're going to go a long distance and all of a sudden you start to see these lights and you're like, oh my gosh, in the next hour I'm going to have a migraine, and you certainly don't want to be behind the wheel of a car when you're doing that.
And medication-wise, any advancements there?
Medications have been okay. You know, we started, people have been using Botox a little bit, so that helps in some people. There's a whole slew of different medications that have been working, but it really varies from some people. Some people get better on ergotamine. Some people get better with tryptophan. Some people actually still need narcotics.
Tryptophan? So eating turkey?
Yeah, triptans. I'm sorry, not tryptophan. Did I say tryptophan?
You did say tryptophan.
Yeah, triptans is a classification.
I was going to say, so Thanksgiving Day is migraine sufferer's favorite day.
It probably is good.
Andrea, you knew about the Botox thing?
Yeah, I'd heard that. Although I'd heard it causes, for some it causes headaches. Is that right, Doc? But for others, it's more of a cure-all. Kind of like NyQuil. I think that affects some people it puts to sleep. Other people it gives them weird nightmares.
Yes, that's very true.
Are you in the weird nightmare category?
Yeah. How did you know?
Because you brought up weird numbers. And as far as migraines, hope for the future, again, there's research that goes into headache suffering because we all get headaches at different times. But how do you know if you've got a dangerous headache?
Yeah, you know, people say, oh, well, what about headaches? And we say, well, for doctors, it's sometimes, I don't want to say frustrating, but it can be because we have a very short period of time to make a diagnosis on something that is subjective. You come in and tell me I am having pain in my head. We have to sit there and figure out, is this something serious? Could this be an aneurysm? Could this be a stroke? Could this be a tumor? Or is it something as simple as a tension headache? Is it simple as a sinus infection? Is it something, you know, toothache? Is it an ear problem? So it's very important that we sort out the very serious ones from the non-serious ones, because obviously the treatments are huge and the conditions can be devastating between the two of them. So it's a difficult challenge diagnostically for physicians, but once they get to the right one, we still have some frustrations with the treatment plans.
All right, so Andrea's favorite topic is flu shots. She loves the flu shots.
I got one.
I know you did. And you were not, you know, comfortable with it, but would you explain the process of what happened to you for people who share your anxiety about flu shots?
It's not that, you know, everyone has different fears of needles. I know Ross, your son, has a big fear of needles. It's
Same
not so much
Bill
the needle.
Left, yeah.
I just always had these, you know, you hear all the rumors that you get the flu if you get the flu shot, you get the chills, that kind of thing.
All that nonsense.
All that nonsense, yeah. And I'm here to tell you, it's all nonsense. Because I was one of those people.
Yeah, and do you feel like maybe the next time you get it, it'll be easier?
Yeah, because this is my second year, right, that I've gotten it?
Yeah, last year you actually booked a trip to Europe to try to get out of it.
Exactly.
No, that was the year before.
Was that it?
Yeah.
She went to Scotland, so she didn't have
That's
to get
right.
a flu shot.
And we were talking about whooping cough. Before I let you go, Doc, whooping cough boosters for everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whooping cough, we used to just think that you got your shots through your adolescence and we didn't need to give one after that. Then we had some outbreaks. We've had some recent outbreaks in the city of Chicago. So really important, especially for adults who are going to be around kids. So whether it's going to be grandparents or parents themselves, so Ross, you know, those are the big important ones there. Because whooping cough can be devastating to children, to adolescents and to young children. And it's a simple shot. When you go to get your tetanus shot, just make sure you ask them to give you the one that has pertussis in it as well. It's called Adacel.
Right. Well done by you. And feel better there, Sniffles.
Yeah, no, I really. I've been kind of kicking this around for a week or two. I'm kind of getting frustrated with it, but I don't know any doctors. So
exactly. Who would you call? Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Talk to you later.
/7 when it's a wind chill of 10 or 20 below. How about a little baseball? It is a pleasure to say hello to my old friend Lou Pinella. When I say old, I mean because I've known you a long time.
How are you doing, my friend?
How are you? Great talking to you.
I'm doing good. I was listening to your weather report there. Mm-hmm. 1 degrees. My gosh. I mean, here in Florida, it's a little cold, but it's a chilly 62 degrees right now.
I don't know how you do it. You got the boat fired up? You going fishing? What are you doing this morning?
Well, today I've got some things to do, but tomorrow I've got some golf planned.
Every winter I tell Lou I'm coming down to play golf. And what? Have I showed up yet?
No. You need to. You know, playing me on the golf course, you can finance your trip down here.
Well, how's everybody? Your family well?
Everybody's doing really, really well. Yeah, we had a great holiday season, and now we're settling in for hopefully a helpful 2016. And I wish that to yourself and your family and all the people that are listening in the Chicago area.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm sure so many things to ask you about related to the game. I'm sure you enjoyed seeing the Cubs' success this year, but there's a guy that just got into the Hall of Fame who you know better than just about anybody. And for someone like you who bridges the generations, who was friends with Mickey Mantle and friends with some of the game's all-time greats, who got to manage A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr. just when they were really cranking it up. Randy Johnson was on that team. How good was Griffey?
When I had him in Seattle, Jr. was the best player in baseball. There wasn't anything he couldn't do on the baseball field. Playing defensively in a demanding position like center field, he covered right center, left center. With the bat, my gosh, he hit the power, he hit the average, he drove in runs. And he had a passion for the game also. He loved the game. He had fun playing it, and I really enjoyed managing him. I really did. I was blessed to be able to put on a uniform and watch him perform all those years for me. Just a great player, really a good human being. You haven't heard any problems off the junior, off the field. Wonderful family. He's got the whole package, and I was so happy to see that he got, 99.3% of the votes.
There's always two or three chumps every year who refuse to vote for the obvious and this just antiquated notion that nobody can ever go in as a unanimous Hall of Famer. If Babe Ruth wasn't unanimous, no one ever can be. I mean, look, it's a tired argument. But if Griffey hadn't gotten a little banged up at the end, would he possibly been able to make a run as the best that ever played?
Well, there's no question. I'm sure that if he hadn't gotten banged up, that he would have set the all-time home run record. Junior played with reckless abandon. I used to tell him in Seattle, like team down. I'd tell him, look, the angles are severe, especially in right center field. You got to be careful. We don't want you hurt. We got to keep you in the lineup. It's great for your career. And he'd tell me all the time, Lou, he says, look, I play the game the way it should be played. If I think I can make a play, I'm going to do it. And he made so many great plays, it's unbelievable. But he got hurt a few times, and a couple times fairly severe, which hindered him. But he took as much pride or more pride in his defense than he did in his offense.
He was the kind of guy, Dave Ennett, you know this,
yep,
because you call big league baseball. He's the kind of guy that you loved watching play defense. Defense, so many times, is an afterthought. It's like, okay, well, we'll hit again next time.
Mm-hmm.
But to go to a park to watch a guy catch a fly ball, because he could catch anything.
Yeah, it's
he really could. He really could, Steve. I mean, he patrolled center field like it was his own private domain. I saw him make a play in Detroit that I still can't believe he made. It had to be six or seven rows up into the right center field bleachers, and he braced himself with his left foot on the wall and snagged this ball. It's unbelievable. I saw him make many great plays, but that's the one that stands out in my mind more than anything else. And you know what? When I first took over the Seattle job, we were in Peoria, Arizona, and Junior would hit these towering fly balls, and the ball would carry out of the ballpark. And I said, "Boy, the air must be really light here in Arizona." Which it is. And then when the season started, he hit these towering fly balls, and it carry out of every ballpark. And I soon realized that he was a young man, not the air.
Lou, what do you think about this guy that the Cubs signed, Jason Hayward?
Well, he's a good player. He's another guy that is a good defensive player,
mm-hmm.
Excellent defensive player, actually. And, when you start putting a team together, you need to keep the other team from scoring. And, the Cubs have added a lot of depth with their pitching. So that, adding Hayward to a lineup, I like left-hand hitting anyway, as you know, years that I was over there in Chicago. And Hayward's a good hitter also. I mean, he can hit the ball out of the ballpark. He's got some speed. He's going to save a lot of runs in that outfield.
The other guy I wanted to ask you about was Derek Jeter because, I talked off the air about this a little bit, but Jeter ended a career in just spectacular fashion, that only way legends should. Ted Williams' last at-bat, he hits a home run. Jeter's last at-bat, looks like it's an out. The game goes to extra innings. It's the only game he ever played at Yankee Stadium where the Yankees were mathematically eliminated, which is a crazy stat to begin with. And he hits a game-winning single, and he goes out on top. His 3,000th hit is a home run. He dates some of the most beautiful women in the world, and he's never caught in the middle of a scandal. I mean, you knew this kid when, you know, because of your Yankee association, you knew this kid his entire career. Is that just a great mom and dad? How did he end up so normal?
Yeah, he's got a wonderful, wonderful mom and dad. There's no question about that. I've gotten a chance to talk to him many times. But I'll tell you what, Derek, when he played shortstop for the Yankees and they're managing against him in Seattle, I didn't like him very much. he was such a great player and a winner. But I've gotten to know Derek a lot better, as I have a lot of these Yankees that I competed against. And I can see why they had the success they had. These are first-class citizens that had a ton of ability. And when you look at Jeter, you know, Jeter was a 300 hitter. He was played the shortstop position as well as it could be played. He could beat you with his glove. He could beat you with his arm. He could beat you with his speed, with his bat. And again, he played all the time. And he was a mainstay. One of the best players that ever played the game. And he's another guy that when his turn comes up in Cooperstown, he'll be elected first round, and rightfully so. But, you know, he plays golf out here at the golf course where I play here at Iowa in Tampa.
Right.
And he struggles with his golf game. And, you know, he's so competitive. I told him, you know, Derek, I said, I'd like to play a little 5-hour Nassau or something for fun. He said, Lou, he says, I ain't going to let you beat me right now, but give me about a few months and I'll try you out.
Well, maybe I come down. It's you, me, and Jeter, and I take both of your money.
There you go. That's a good idea, Steve. I think with your golf game, I don't think you'd have a problem. I really don't. I don't seem to get any better.
Well, we take a look at the big board.
I've settled down in the low 80s, and that's about what I play. I could par the first 6 holes and shoot 83, or I could bogey the first 6 holes and shoot 83.
it's a funny, funny, painful game. I just think about the late 70s and those Yankee teams that you were on were guys that you played with, who you were friends with their whole lives, who couldn't stay out of trouble for 20 minutes, and Jeter stayed out of trouble in New York for 20 years. It's really pretty. It's amazing.
Yeah. And he still won't be.
He's marrying this beautiful young girl. I think they're engaged. He'll be married soon. He's got a I would call it a huge estate here in Tampa. Island.
it's a pretty good life.
Not at all.
Pretty good life.
He still won't be a unanimous pick for the Hall of Fame.
No, he won't. It's ridiculous.
But is there anybody, Lou? I mean, Piazza went in, but is there anybody that you look at who's not in that's it's really glaring omission that ought to be in there?
Well, look, you look at some of the great players in baseball, and I know that there's been some tainted problems in their careers, but my gosh, I mean, you've got the all-time home run leader, Barry Bonds. I mean, this guy, he could play. You got Roger Clemens. Here's another guy that he's won, 7 Cy Youngs. You've got I had a guy that I'd like to talk about a little bit, though, is Martinez over in Seattle.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He was the best DH in baseball. Now you've got Ortiz in Boston that basically has had a wonderful, wonderful career DHing also. But Martinez, I mean, he could hit. I thought that when he played in Seattle, he was he and Jim Rice were the two best right-hand hitters in baseball.
Yeah,
and Rice is in the Hall of Fame, so I think Martinez. I'm glad to see that he's getting more and more votes. But you know, these guys here that some problems in their career with the steroids and so forth. I mean, you know, we're talking about great players. I'm glad that I don't have to vote and make that decision, but you would think that they would get more votes than they're getting.
Yeah, even if the plaque has to be annotated. You know, if the plaque says something about these players played in an era where there was a question of, you know, PEDs, whatever. It's undeniable talent. I agree with you. Well, listen, I appreciate you getting on. I hope we can do a little more of this as we get into warmer weather. But I miss you, and it's great catching up with you.
Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year to you and your family and everybody else listening. And, I hope to... get spring training started here soon and get the baseball season going.
All right, hold on a second. Kevin has fabulous prizes. That's Lou Piniella. It's nice talking to Lou. Can you imagine, though, being around Reggie, being around Billy, being around Steinbrenner, being around all those guys?
Oh, sure. I mean,
the stories Lou's told in public and the stories I've heard him tell at dinner, just unbelievable. I saw Jeter do the Joe Buck show. The Joe Buck's got this new interview show that he does on the Audience Network, and it was pretty good. And Jeter is an amazing story to me, how a guy could say scandal-free like
that. In that, for that team.
In New York.
At that level of success.
Yeah, crazy.
With that level of celebrity. And remember, Steve, he did it in the social media era.
Yeah.
Too.
Right.
I mean, that's the really amazing part.
Yeah, Facebook came around in 2004.
TMZ is around. And
Facebook came around in 2004. Everything since then, so the last 10 years of his career. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, 7:25, way late, but traffic time. Mary, update us, please. This might be my favorite David Bowie song. David Bowie dies at 69. Surprised everybody because he hadn't talked about the fact that he's been sick of cancer for the last year and a half. Details still pretty sketchy on that part of the story, but we'll know when we know. A couple of people to thank. This, you know, we continue to get pens and pencils. Remember I had the highlighters and the staplers?
Yeah.
I asked for pens. We've gotten thousands of pens sent in by people.
They're great pens, too.
Well, we have great pens. We have crappy pens. We got all kinds of pens. Whatever kind of pen you want.
Now at least we have pens.
But I guess the outpouring of support for the program means that if you guys need anything, you should speak up because the listeners are there for you.
That's
so not just office supplies?
No.
Other stuff?
No, whatever you need.
Sporting goods?
Sure.
Coffee?
You mean like have them bring you coffee?
Yeah.
Well, we have people on the show that do that.
Clorox wipes. We can never have too many of them.
That's a good point. Yeah, wipes and Purell.
Yeah.
Well, let's not ask for stuff that you can go to Walgreens for. I mean, it's something that, you know, that they do at a business that we could in turn give their business a plug.
Yeah, but in our defense, the Walgreens used to be right across the street, and they moved it about 20 steps south.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And it's minus one today. We don't want to be walking 20 steps in this
weather.
That's
a really good point. No, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. It is quite
There's a
hardship.
A lot of germs floating around.
Nobody knows. Right. D. Reinhardt sent us in a whole a kit and caboodle. Not just the kit, but the caboodle
the
as
caboodle
well.
The caboodle part, yeah.
Yeah. Sent us pencils, mechanical pencils, crazy computerized pencils. They're also stylus. I mean, high up, you know, tempo or upscale stuff.
See, that's cool. I haven't used a pencil in years. 20 years.
You're going to start.
Since I took the ACT.
Sharon Uhlman, love having you back on WGN, and nice to hear you talk about Abigail Grace. I know you'll be a good grandfather. Wasn't that nice?
Very sweet, nice. Yeah.
Sharon sent spit up, not actual spit up, but what are the things called you put on your shoulder?
The little bibs.
Burp rags.
Burp rags. Yeah, sent burp rags.
Cute.
And she did some embroidery on them and stuff.
Nice. So when she spits up on you, it won't go on your clothes.
Yeah, she hasn't done that yet.
Yet.
Yeah.
Just give her time.
Well, I'd like it. It'd be an honor. It's 7:31. We're going to get to the big story in a second. All right, Kev, we have Hawks tickets for when?
For tomorrow night's game.
And who are they playing?
They are playing...
the Nashville Predators.
Nashville
Predators.
This, now, is this in Nashville?
Here.
Oh, it's here.
That's why the tickets are...
Yeah. This would be 8 in a row. They're going for 8 in a row. And love beating up on Nashville. Dallas leads the division.
Not by much.
Is it 4 points?
Four points now.
4 points. It's two games. And the Hawks are tied for third in the NHL, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah. All right, so normally we stick a puck in somebody's pants and celebrity pants. Andre, do you have a puck in your pants?
I do not have
Mary,
a puck in my pants.
Do you have a puck
today.
In your pants?
Nope. Let me check. No.
All right. Dave, puck in your pants?
Nada.
No, me neither. So why don't we go with a trivia question? Why don't we go with a question that Kevin spent all weekend preparing?
I did. I've been working on this all weekend, and the NHL All-Star Game right around the corner. So
which caller will you take on this?
Seven, please.
Caller seven. Starting with caller seven. First correct answer to this question.
The question, again, sticking with the All-Star Game theme, what Chicago Blackhawks scored the game-winning goal in the first official NHL All-Star Game in 1947?
Oh. Was it Taves?
That would be incorrect, Steve. Good try.
All right. So if it's not Taves, that eliminates Taves from the list.
Dave can't answer because he was there.
Dave was covering it.
Right.
Yes, he was. All right. First correct caller, starting with caller number seven for Hawks tickets for tomorrow night against Nashville. 312-981-7200. Hamp coming up. Special guest with Hamp. I don't want to ruin the surprise, but it's Richard Dent.
Oh, cool.
Wait to hear who it is.
Yeah, it's exciting. So a couple of NFL legends join us in the next few minutes here. Stand by for that. And Dean will have a complete Golden Globes wrap-up after 8 o'clock if he's back from his trail across the Old West.
Some stage coaching.
Yes.
An animal!
Dan Hampton. Anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
7:41. Be more fun if we could talk about the Bears in the playoffs. Hey, maybe next year. But as we continue with show 562, we now go to the legend, Dan Hampton, and a special guest. It's sponsored by Chevrolet. And, of course, your Northwestern Indiana and Chicagoland Chevy dealers will be well represented at the Chicago Auto Show, which will be here sooner than you know it. And I don't know if Hamp even knows it. You guys played the Auto Show last year. Are you playing this year as well?
Yes, sir. We're doing the Black Tie Gala.
Nice.
Which is, of course, February 12th. And as a special invite, we're going to ask the kicker of the Minnesota Vikings to sit in on a couple of songs.
Blair Walsh. Because Robbie Gould wouldn't take your call, or what?
Yeah, and maybe Robbie Gould after some of the choking we've seen done by the kickers this year. That's pretty bad.
That wasn't good. All right, I want to get into the playoffs, but first I want to bring in your old friend Richard Dent, who was standing by. That's our surprise guest, by the way, Dave. It's Richard Dent.
Richard Dent, really? Number 95, Richard the sack
Dent.
Man?
Richard Dent, the sack man. Good morning, Richard.
Hey, what's up? What's the morning, guys? How you doing? It's kind of hard waking up this morning.
Yeah, well, you're getting no sympathy.
With all the choking you see going on this weekend. It's,
you know
all
what?
All the mouthwash around the NFL is pretty rough today. A lot of people couldn't brush their teeth today.
Couple of linemen, you guys just love kickers, don't you?
No. Kickers in a tough spot, but you would think that you just hate to see a team lose like that, I think the better team probably won, but Minnesota played well enough to win. But the fact that when you work that hard and get down there and make things happen, when you look at like them in Cincinnati, a team that just struggled, I thought Cincinnati was, pretty well off, thought that they was going to have an opportunity to, get to the big game there. But, it's just crazy, some of the things that you see there.
Didn't happen. Hamp, you and Dent played most of the best years with the Bears with one of the great kickers of all time, Kevin Butler. But did either one of you at any point, Hamp, let me start with you, did either one of you want to kill Butthead at any time?
Every day. That's just the personality. You want to choke him. Every time, it's like, you're here again? What are you doing here? I got to tell you, and it's a great story. We went to Denver, and he had three kicks in the second half to give us the lead, and we finally have to go into overtime. And finally in overtime, he makes the kick. And going running off the field, Dickie runs up and goes, "Oh, Butthead, I love you, I love you." And Butthead says, "Yeah, but if I would have missed that one, would you have still loved me?" And Dickie says, "No." He says, no, no. He says, yes, I still love you. I'd have missed you. Because your butt would be out of here.
Would have been sad to see you go. Richard Dent, did you ever have to take Butthead aside and say, if it happens again, I'm going to kill you?
No, I mean, you know, kickers, you know, you always kind of upset. You know, you're looking around as you're working your ass off. You see these guys sit around, ain't doing shit, sitting on his helmet, kicking around. You know, you just, you know, you hate their lifestyle, but then again, you love them. They just got to deliver.
That's the bottom line.
You got to deliver, man. Somebody got to catch, hold, and snap, you know. But a lot of guys, I don't know, they say they don't like kicking those laces, and the lace hurts, you know, but... It's the playoff, you know, that's the playoff. You think it's
got to get it done.
You think it's there and it's just not there.
Wait, Richard, you said they don't like kicking the laces because they hurt. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The way we break, for, you know, bones and blood gush, and they don't want to kick because laces.
Right, that's my point. We sitting around.
Oh my gosh!
And they're bitching about the laces.
Well, you know, listen. You know, it could really chafe your toes. You know, you could really get a scrape there.
Hey, it's only going to hurt a second, man. Just hit it. Before you know it, it'll go away. You know.
All right, we're going to let Richard go back to bed, but not before we do this. The BBF is a great family. The Better Boys Foundation is a great family services organization. And, Richard, I know you know these guys. I'm going to meet with them later today as well. And you have agreed to be roasted on Saturday, February 20th at Fulton Market at Revel. Do you know Revel at Fulton Market?
Oh, I do not, no.
Yeah, I don't either, but I'm told it's fantastic. We're expecting about 800 in-house. And, Richard, all of your buddies are going to come by to insult you, including Mr. Hampton, we're hoping. Otis will be there, Steve McMichael, and by the way, Richard, I'll be there as well to hit you with a few, you know, laces. I don't care what way the laces are facing. I'll hit you with a couple as well.
I'm going to roast that Chicago 6 when it gets there, too.
But no, that's a good one, Rich. That's a good one. don't worry about the 6.
You know, which I've been trying to get in this group for a long time. You know, I used to be in a group. I used to, I got 7 brothers. You know, like I said, my dad thought he had the next Jackson 5 back in the day.
Is that right? Were you a singer?
Yes, you know, and, you know, I could never really get anything done, so I started cutting grass, doing my own thing. But, you know, we used to have our own talent shows in the backyard, charge a quarter to get in. So, it's something that I would love to enjoy doing.
Well, Hamp, what's the problem? Let's help a brother out here, Hamp. Can we get him an audition?
We have seen tapes of the Dented 7 on YouTube.
All right, tickets to the Richard Dent Roast. BBF.
It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. And, you know, I'm working on a few other people. I got Marcus Allen, Eric Dickerson coming in.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
So it's really going to be fun. You know, in the North Lawndale area, the Better Boys Foundation has been around for so many years. A great gentleman that started this organization back in the 50s is Joe Kelman, who's a person that, you know, we used to do the Mackey Award with the NFL for many years.
Okay.
You know, with the things that we see were going on within our city, we have to be able to find out some ways to reach out and help some of these organizations that reside in our great city. So this is, you know, it's appreciation. I'm not a big jokester like Hampton. You know, who knows what these guys are going to come up with? I'm going to come up with? But, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun, and we want to get out and let kids know that, you know, if you're dreaming, it's possible to do whatever it is you want to do.
Well said. Yes, Hamp.
One last thing. Richard, we love you. Always will. Always have.
You know, I love you too, my man.
Maybe the only person in town that is a more target-rich environment is me. So good luck to you.
It's the great Richard Dent, Dan Hampton. We'll come back with Hamp in just a second, and we will talk about the weekend and the playoffs just ended. and what should be the best weekend, because it usually is every single year. The second week of the playoffs is usually your highlight. BBFFamilyServices.org. It's going to be a star-studded lineup, and I will host the event on February 20th. BBFFamilyServices.org, the Richard Dent Roast. And your support is appreciated. 7:49, we go back to traffic. Mary's here with that on 720 WGN. David Bowie, Young Americans. We're playing a lot of Bowie music today. He died unexpectedly this weekend. He was 69 years old. Hamp was a musician before he was a legendary NFL superstar and Hall of Famer. Who'd you want to be when you grew up when you thought about being a musician?
Well, you know, I like John Fogerty of, the old band Creedence. You know, that guy was a genius, just like Bowie. And it's a sad era we're getting to because, you know, every once in a while I listen to that old song, Rock and Roll Heaven.
Sure.
And when it was written and performed 20 years ago, you know, they were talking about Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. Now it's a expanded roster for sure. That's a sad day.
I was talking earlier, Hamp, about this script I started writing that I never finished called Rock and Roll Nursing Home, because we've gotten to that point now where the nursing home would be filled with the Rolling Stones and all of these guys that would just make the nurses crazy and tear the place up. They'd just do it slowly, and they'd want soup after. But it's crazy when you think about legends we grew up with. Now, you know, if they're not 70, they can see it from here, and some of them are into their 70s.
Yeah. And like I said, sad to hear about Bowie. But what a great era. What great music we were able to grow up with.
All right, so this Cincinnati Bengals-Pittsburgh Steelers game seemed like it was out of hand for the majority of the game. And this isn't the NFL going soft. This is, you know, playing a game that it ought to, the way it ought to be played. And the two penalties at the end of the game were about as dumb as it gets. What do you know about this guy, Burfict, on Cincinnati, who ought to be sat down and penalized and pay a big fine for the nonsense he was pulling?
Well, and you're exactly right. He has to be, you know, reined in. And if his coach could not do it, if his head coach, position coach or head coach couldn't do it, if his, you know, you have to have a certain tether to your team that you're not going to do anything to you know, undermine your team. If all those factors did not come into play during the course of a 3.5-hour football game, then he needs to really get a wake-up call. And that needs to be given by our phony commissioner, Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell should come out today and say, you know, this wasn't a one-time incident. It wasn't a one-time shot. This was an escalation of violent activity throughout the game. There's a way to play, and there's a way to not to play. And you know what? He's going to be suspended for half of the year. And if they really want to make a statement, if they really want to make believers out of the media and the four-letter network, then do something that says, hey, we're not going to tolerate, you know, these headshot kill shots. When you know, on one side of the ledger you're saying, oh, we're going to be tough on it, and then you don't do anything when it actually happens. So yeah, this guy, he was out of control, and that would be something that would reverberate throughout the NFL, and everybody would say, hey, I'm going to lose half of my income if I take shots like that. So guess what? Nobody's going to take a shot like that.
He wasn't the only one, though, in that situation, Hap. I mean, Burfict was a big part of it, clearly. But then you had Joey Porter out there. You know,
Porter didn't hit nobody in the head with the helmet.
He didn't, but should a coach be allowed to be out there? According to the rules, he shouldn't have been.
Broken and fine, yeah. You know, fine him away. It's like an NBA fight. Hey, fine everybody. Mm-hmm. Make them understand, hey, there's going to be a penalty. But Here's the thing, and it really gets me stoked, because you know it's a great game, but now this political correctness, touchy feely. Oh well, you know, because you know we have a small segment of players that have had issues, and yes, they have. Okay, a small segment, but if we're really going to do something, well, you got to back it up, and to allow this guy to take the shot you know, and other shots, and basically, you know, try to instigate things throughout the course of a ball game, and you don't do anything as a head coach, as a position coach, as a teammate, then guess what? That's when the commissioner needs to come in and say, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. This is outside of the rules, the framework that we're trying to play the game with now. This isn't 1957. This is 2016. So we are not going to tolerate it.
Packers took it to the Redskins and really were in complete control of that game. What do you make of a team that looked almost unidentifiable last week against the Vikings and really scrambling and a hot mess to come in against, frankly, a hotter Redskins team and just own them that way? I mean, which Packers?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
It is 8:13. Dean Richards is live at Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Look who's back.
What do you mean, look who's back?
Well, I was out for several days.
By the way, I think this you is were what too. We heard. This is what you heard. We heard Dean. What was the phraseology of this? Dean is out of touch as he's traveling.
No, yeah, he was traveling.
Out of touch?
Yeah, we told you you're out of touch because you're traveling. And my point was, unless you're on a stagecoach, you know, moving west, settling new areas, you're not out of touch. You're reachable.
Well, I was doing interviews at the time of the, you know, when we would have been talking.
No, not even a segment. I mean, I knew you couldn't do the segment. I just thought the phrasing was funny, that you were somehow, you know, pushing your way west, developing new towns and mining for gold.
Maybe when they said out of touch, they just meant that I'm clueless.
Well, you know, listen, we've all had stuff said behind our backs. Why should you know?
I don't mind if people say it right to me. I have Facebook. I read it all.
So, all right. So I guess I am in the minority here. I was not a fan of the Globes last night.
Not even Ricky Gervais?
No.
Really?
No, I didn't get it.
He was so funny.
Yeah. I give him credit for Stones.
He's courageous.
Having them, yes.
He is fearless.
Yeah, for saying what he said to a room that at times felt even a little hateful.
Yeah.
But it just didn't.
That's
didn't
what make. You don't hire a Ricky Gervais and, you know, think it's going to be Shecky Green coming out there.
Waka waka.
You know, it's Ricky Gervais. You know that he's going to. That's what he's famous for, being mean.
Did you like it, Andre?
I liked it a lot. I thought there was a lot of surprises. Dean, I said to Steve earlier, I like the fact that, you know, I love Jeffrey Tambor. I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but I like that other actors are starting to
win
now,
too. But including a bunch of people you never heard of, because
yeah,
that was last night.
I don't mind. There are a lot of young, up-and-coming actors.
Hey, you buy crickety. I don't even. You and your fancy Netflix and Amazon fiddle-dee-sticks or whatever you call
there
it.
There were people that won last night that apparently appear on a hula hoop.
Right. Well, you feel bad because they all sit in the back. Like, Maura Tierney won, and I think she was stunned.
They put all the TV people in back.
Right.
The TV people are all in back.
Yeah, and then it's like a 45-minute walk to the stage.
Exactly. Someone I was watching it with said, I love when the people in the back win.
Right.
Then it takes them 15 minutes.
Were they on the Hulu, too?
We're on the Hulus.
Then it's like super awkward because it takes such a long time for them to get up there. There were some surprises and there were some snubs. I mean, in the movie categories, The Revenant was the big winner of the night. It won three awards more than any other. It won Best Drama. Leonardo DiCaprio won for Best Actor, and the film's director, Alejandro González Iñárritu, won, repeating his win from last year from Birdman.
You're just like showing off saying his name.
If you knew how long I practice it, you'd show off too.
I'm glad Sylvester Stallone won.
That was a good emotional moment. That probably was the emotional moment. Unbelievably, his first Golden Globe win ever.
That is a little weird.
Yeah,
huh?
I thought it was for Rocky.
He's been nominated three times for a Golden Globe. I think people put way too much stock in the Golden Globes anyway. The Golden Globe Awards are given out by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Bunch of drunk Frenchmen, aren't they?
It's literally a group of 92 people, 92 entertainment journalists. So think 92 dopes like me from other countries.
Oh, I wouldn't give you that kind of responsibility.
You know, but the bigger issue is it's 92 people as opposed to the Academy Awards that are determined by thousands of people in the industry.
Yeah, yeah.
Not reporters who are very, believe me, a lot of these reporters are very easily swayed. You know, it's they give awards to people to get them to show up to
their events. Yeah, but you're not swayed. Why can't you be one of the voters?
Well, I am a voter in some of the other awards that'll be coming out over the next couple of weeks. But this Hollywood Foreign Press, you have to be, you know, a Hollywood journalist in order to, you know, qualify for that one. But like the Screen Actors Guild Awards are given out by people who are actors. Thousands and thousands of people determine it. Not 92. So I don't put a whole lot of stock into this. I think Sylvester Stallone will be nominated for an Academy Award when those nominations come out this coming Thursday, by the way. But I think a couple of interesting things happened here. You know, Revenant was a winner on the dramatic side. The Martian won for musical or comedy, even though it really is neither of those two things, which is weird.
The comedy thing had like two or three movies in it. I didn't understand how they were comedy.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, the nominees were Joy, which really is not a comedy. The Big Short, which really
is not that
much of a comedy.
No, I watched The Big Short yesterday. There's about three laughs in it, and at the end you want to punch a banker.
Yeah, it's really not a comedy. The Martian really is not a comedy. There was just The Spy and Trainwreck that are comedies, and none of them musicals. So even Matt Damon was joking about the fact that his movie is not a comedy. So among the many problems that I have with the Golden Globes, but those were the winners. But snubbed last night, Spotlight did not win anything.
That? See, that bums me out. I thought that was the best movie of the year.
It's my number one movie of
is
the year.
Is it Dean? Oh, awesome. Good.
Yeah, I don't
good.
Get it.
Good.
The Big Short didn't win anything last night. That was expected to win.
It's a great movie.
Awesome movie.
The Danish Girl didn't win anything last night. The Cate Blanchett film, Carol, didn't win anything last night. I mean, those are
another great movie.
Those are the ones that people are, you know, were saying, you know, would at least take a couple of wins last night.
Yeah, and I don't understand why everybody went nuts for the out of the 92 people we're talking about, went nuts for The Revenant, because The Revenant is, have you seen it?
No,
yeah. It's really hard to watch.
Yeah, it's disturbingly violent. But I think people were voting for that movie based on DiCaprio's performance, which is a stunning performance in that movie. I think his performance is better than the movie itself. I liked the movie. I gave it an A. I liked it. But I don't think it's the best movie of the year. I think Spotlight is the best movie of the year. And, you know, people will argue all of that. But that's when you have 92 people voting instead of thousands, you're going to get, I think, kind of a skewed result. Jennifer Lawrence won for Best Actress. Matt Damon won for Best Actor for Musical or Comedy. DiCaprio and Brie Larson, who is amazing. If you haven't seen this movie, Room, it's a tiny little film. It's a quirky little story, but it's a really great film. Her performance was great in that.
Stand by. I want to come back, and you guys can tell me about it. Apparently, I missed the big moment of the night, which was Mel Gibson and Ricky Gervais.
Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson.
Dean's best friend, Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson? What?
But at 8:20, we get to traffic trouble spots. Mary's back with that. What do you have now? Andre, and your David Bowie favorites, where does this rank?
I like this one.
Top 10?
Yeah, it's definitely top 10. Okay. I love Bowie. Change is still number one, though.
Space Oddity.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite. Because I used to listen to it. I had an 8-track player in my car when that came out, and I would listen to it, in quadraphonic sound or something with all the different sounds, you know, coming at me in every direction.
Dean was actually fired from NUA for playing David Bowie. He used to play a lot of Bowie.
That was the least of my problems at WNUA.
Yeah. All right, getting back to last night. So Mel Gibson comes out, and Andre was filling me in on the backstory. Back when Mel Gibson had his anti-Semitic booze-crazed rant, and this is not where he yelled at Dean.
Right, pre-Dean.
Pre-Dean.
That actually took place during the when we figure out the timeline on all of it. My encounter with him actually took place the same time.
But it was
same
just.
I'll take care. Bye bye.
Beep hole.
And you haven't had much contact with Mel since then?
No. No. I've been sending Christmas cards every year. I haven't heard a word back.
All right, so last night we've got a clip. Now, set this clip up.
So, we're going to want the second clip of Ricky Gervais and Mel Gibson, not the first one, because the first one's just Ricky by himself, and that'll make Steve mad.
All right, we're good to go.
But so Ricky comes out, and he explains how awkward this is, because the last time that he hosted the Golden Globes, he introduced him and made fun of his drinking, made fun of his anti-Semitism. You know, and it was pretty awkward. So, and he goes, "Well, you know, how awkward is this now? I've got to do this again." And once again, he made fun of his drinking, and he made fun of he made some very sort of offhanded remarks about anti-Semitism here. But he said that ultimately he wanted to say something nice to introduce Mel Gibson. So he did, and Gibson got a pretty good snipe back at Ricky Gervais.
A few years ago on this show, I made a joke about Mel Gibson getting a bit drunk and saying a few unsavory things. We've all done it. I wasn't judging him, but now I find myself in the awkward position of having to introduce him again. Listen, I'm sure it's embarrassing for both of us, okay? And I blame NBC for this terrible situation. Mal blames, we know who Mal blames. Listen, I still feel a bit bad for it, right? Mal's forgotten all about it, apparently. That's what drinking does. No. I want to say something nice about Mal before he comes out. Oh, yeah, okay, here you go. I'd rather have a drink with him in his hotel room tonight than with Bill Cosby.
Wow.
I love seeing Ricky once every 3 years because it reminds me to get a colonoscopy.
Wow. Wow.
So, if you left your drink here, you don't need to leave your drink here. I'll put you to sleep another way, son of a bitch.
So Ricky walks off and he comes back on, and then he says, let me ask you something. And NBC censors, you could see them, but they censor it. And you could see people in the audience holding their mouths. They were shocked at what happened. And what Ricky Gervais said, he repeated something that Mel Gibson was alleged to have said to a female police officer, a derogatory question that he asked a female police officer.
I think we can clean this up. He called her sugar boobs, and he didn't use the word boobs.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And then the
so
question...
Ricky goes, what the F is sugar boobs?
Right.
And, you know, the crowd goes wild, and Gibson goes, I don't know, that wasn't me who said it. So does he mean I'm a different person now? Or is he saying, I never said that? Who knows what it was?
This is why Dean hates you, Mel.
But Ricky got some good lines in. Gibson got a good one back.
Yeah, he did.
At Gervais. And, you know, kind of tying into what he called me, you know, talking about the colonoscopy, he's clearly focused on that end of the body.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Dean, I would feel better.
That's his go-to insult.
If I was you, I'd feel better because you got called, you know, the bigger swear word. Gervais just got the SOB. Well,
that's true. You know, you mean more to Mel than Ricky Gervais
does. I'd like to think so.
All right, quickly, fashion. Andrea.
Oh, J-Law and J-Lo. Jennifer Lawrence, gorgeous red dress with the sequined diamonds.
Loved your hair, too, by the way.
Yes, stunning, stunning, stunning.
And who didn't get it done?
I did love J-Lo, though, with the yellow. I know she turned a lot of heads, but beautiful, beautiful dress.
Jane Fonda's dress. Like she had a big fan on her shoulders.
She did. Like she had a lot of stuff on her.
Did she have a deal with some fan company or something?
I don't know what it was.
And actress Rooney Mara, who never really got up on the stage, she looked like if you tore up toilet paper and just glued it all over yourself.
Yeah.
That's what her dress looked like.
Plus, of course, I was having dinner with my big fat Greek family watching this, and they're all going, she needs a spanakopita. She needs to eat.
She needs to eat.
She is so thin.
What is the deal? It's like all the actresses had the low-cut cleavage, like down to their belly buttons.
Weird boobage.
I wish I had the franchise for double-sided tape in Los Angeles, because there was double-sided tape being used.
Well, but let me ask you a fascinating question. I'm not being flip about this. If you don't have boobage, should you wear something low cut?
Because many of
doesn't
these
it draw
did.
You? Doesn't it draw you to the idea that well, she doesn't have much going on there?
That's what you would think, but they were equal opportunity. I would say it was all about the boobage.
Did you see Maggie Gyllenhaal? She came out sort of toward the end of the show.
Yeah, I'm not a fan
of these. One of these low cut dresses again. They all had these incredibly low cut dresses.
And like Gervais. Gervais had one on his hand as well.
I'm wearing one right now.
That's exactly right.
It's not going to be pleasant when I take that double-sided tape off because I forgot to shave before I put it on.
Well, clearly I'm wrong. You and Andrea and Mary. Mary, I'm not sure where you were in Golden Globes. You were kind of mixed, right?
I wasn't that impressed.
Well, me and I were wrong.
The show itself was not that big of a deal.
No.
But Ricky Gervais, I thought, was really funny.
Okay.
Do you have like 40 seconds to play that other Ricky Gervais cut?
Sure.
You'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah, here you go.
You'll laugh at it.
Here we go.
Our first presenter is beautiful, talented, and Jewish, apparently. Mel Gibson told me that. He's obsessed. Eva Longoria has the daunting task of introducing the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press. That's nothing. I just had to help him off the toilet and pop his teeth in.
You know what? This was from the last time that he was on.
Oh, that was the old one.
The one from last night.
All right. Well, we'll find it. We'll find it.
Play it later. Put it on a cassette. Steve, you got the cassette player.
I'm going to turn it into my ringtone. All right. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you.
All right, bye.
That's Dean Richards. We're back with, or can I jump to this? I need a quick break. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's been a morning of sports legends. We had Hampton. We had Richard Dent.
Lou Piniella.
And Lou Piniella. We had some accidental Richard Dent cursing on the show. We've had a lot of highlights so far this morning. And the legends continue with Kerry Wood. Woody joins us now. Morning, Woody.
Good morning. So you're telling me Lou Piniella made it to the show without cursing?
No, Lou didn't curse, but Dent dropped one in. So maybe he was.
That's
Could have. You know what? That could have been Dent's Lou Piniella impression, possibly.
You know what? I think now you're talking.
So
good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. How you been?
Can't complain. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's baseball weather right here.
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm where you guys are. It's not really baseball weather. It was a couple days ago, though.
Well, I think it was it a week ago? We were talking about a forecast of 60, and we're at minus 2.
Well, we knew it was coming.
Are you going to spring training?
Yeah, I planned on getting out there. I was going to go a little bit longer. I took a little spill right the first part of December, and I got to go in and get a little surgery done to fix some stuff that I messed up when I fell, so I won't be going probably as long as I wanted to, but I'll probably swing by the second half.
Well, let's go ahead and fill in the blanks here so I don't have to make up my own story. How'd you fall?
That's way better if you make up your own. I'm not much of an ice skater. I grew up in Texas, so I shouldn't be on the ice roll.
Okay, so yeah. Were you downtown skating with the kids or something?
I was even better. I was in Rockefeller Center in New York, so everybody got to see a billion people standing around. It was awesome.
Fantastic. Did you get recognized while you were bleeding?
No, nobody recognized the guy rolling around on the ring. So good.
God, he looks athletic, but look at him. He can't even stand up.
Like a baby deer in a frozen pond.
It's the 5th annual Woody's Winter Warm-Up, and Kerry Wood's getting together with a bunch of his friends. And, you know, this is how you can tell, Dave, and you know this.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that an athlete has lived his life and his career the right way because afterwards, if he does a foundation, and many do, and has an event, he has no problem getting his calls returned, and his friends show up to support it. You got an awful lot of friends.
I like the way you said that. I think it's because I give them really good gift back, but they do show up. It's a good time. The guys come out and we have fun with it. They enjoy the event. And again, it's right after opening ceremonies at the Cubs convention, and Harry Carey's has been a great supporter of us over the many, many years. And we have the event at the 7th inning stretch there at Water Tower, and the guys come out, and we have a great time and get to start talking about some baseball.
And speaking of baseball, you know, the Cubs shocked the baseball world, mostly me, with the performance this year. You know, barring all the normal injury things and the bumps in the road, there's no reason to believe that we are approaching an era here where the Cubs are going to be in the thick of it every season for a while.
Hey, I think we're seeing the hard work of the front office pay off for the last
the last 4 or 5 years, they've been doing their job, and we're seeing it now. And I think it may have surprised some people that it happened a year or two before they thought it was going to, but the people that are involved and that know these players and that know this personnel, it wasn't a surprise to them. And the job that this front office has done, putting this organization, putting this team together, has been phenomenal. And it is. It's not going to be this year, just 1 year or next year. It's going to be for many, many years to come. I really feel like we've put ourselves in that category of the Cardinals and the Yankees and the Red Sox, those organizations that are perennial contenders every year and have a chance to win the World Series. And I think the Cubs have stepped into that category.
Woody, what does Jake Arrieta do for an encore? How does he possibly improve on what he did this past season?
I'm not sure if he can, and for anyone to expect him to do that would be silly. I think he did some stuff last year that has never been done in the game of baseball before. So for us to expect him to do that again would be a little ridiculous. But I'm not sure how he can improve unless he was just eating raw meat all offseason. I don't know if he can get any stronger. The guy is an absolute animal. He works hard, and he's a great leader for this team. So for us to have expectations of last year's, I think we'll see that consistency. For us to see that quality of that level of quality, not to say that he can't do it, but for us to expect that would be a little unrealistic. But I think the pickup of Lackey is tremendously huge for this organization and for our staff, and especially for our bullpen.
Well, I would suppose that's why Joe Maddon's a key to all of this, right? Because I look at Madison Baumgartner a couple of years ago as a World Series like nobody ever has. And it's not like he pitched poorly last season, but he wasn't the same guy. You got to have a manager that's going to get in your ear and say, look, nobody's expecting you to do last year. Do this year.
Well, Joe, I think he levels all those expectations from the players themselves and from fans and from the media. He just does such a good job of keeping all that stuff in perspective and helping everybody else around him keep everything in perspective. So Joe is the perfect person in charge of probably any team in baseball, but definitely this group of young core of talent that we have. And couldn't ask for a better leader from Ricketts to Theo to Jed to Joe. I mean, it's just, you're surrounded. These players are in a lucky, they're very lucky to be in the situation they're in and surrounded by the people they're surrounded by. So it's going to be fun on the north side for the next 15 years or so.
Kerry, we love having you on Talking Baseball, obviously, but your foundation does so much for Chicago, for the kids, for so many different organizations. And you got Woody's winter warm-up this Friday coming up on the 15th at Harry Carey's. Tell us about the benefit.
The benefit is great. The guys get to come out as they've been getting their off-season programs going, so it's a little bit of a break for them to come out for the weekend. And probably hadn't seen all their teammates and coaching staff and all those guys since the end of the season. So guys get together. Opening ceremony, Cubs convention. There's a lot of hype in the city about baseball and the Cubs, especially with what they did last year. But the event is great. We've got silent auction items. The venue is phenomenal. It's a huge space. It's connected with the Chicago Sports Museum as well. So there's interactive stuff in the museum. You can go in. Huge event, huge venue, beautiful, beautiful space. And I think we're expecting 700, 750 people. And it's just a quaint venue where you can get to mingle and hang out with Ryan Sandberg, Fergie Jenkins, all the current Cubs, you know, Gio, Theo, Tom Ricketts, the whole staff, and CM Punk will be there this year. So we've got a whole list of many, many celebrities. But again, it's just a nice evening to raise funds for a great cause, which is the Wood Family Foundation and our mentoring program that we do in Lawndale.
The main question, you bringing back your signature drink this year.
What's the signature drink?
What is it?
It's got a bunch of W's in it. It's Woody's Wicked Whiskey Mule. I think I got it right.
Yeah, it's like a Moscow Mule.
Yeah, Woody's
only better.
Woody's Wicked Whiskey Mule. How many do you have to have before you can't say the name? One?
Yeah, one. Three quarters of one.
You sent some over last year. They were good.
They were actually really good. And Harry Carey's, again, being such the great partner that they are giving 100% of the proceeds from that drink for the rest of the week and all through the evening to the foundation. So.
I guess Woody's Whiskey.
Swing by Harry's, grab one.
It's Wicked Woody's Whiskey, Woody. It's Woody's Wicked Wookie's Wookie Mule.
That's what it turns into at the end of the night.
They're good, that's for sure.
Proceeds go where?
All proceeds benefit the Wood Family Foundation. Yeah.
Yes. Very responsible.
Yeah, very. And of youth in Chicago's North Lawndale neighborhoods with after school and summertime mentoring programs pitch in. It's great. Great, great group.
Thanks for being on, dude. We always appreciate it and love having you on.
Thanks for having me. And
appreciate the support. And you realize you used to get nervous doing this, Is there anybody smoother than Kerry Wood now at this? You're going to get dragged into the broadcast booth. I don't care if you like it or not. This is the next phase of your life.
I'm fighting it as long as I can, kicking and screaming.
You might be able to get to work within it.
I don't know about that. I don't think that's going to happen. Doesn't sound like he wants to do it.
Never know. My kids are too young right now. I got 10, 8, and 6. Maybe when my 6-year-old is 10, they'll be done with me, and I can go on about the rest of my life.
Man, then he can go.
I'm enjoying the family now and chasing kids around.
All right, man. Thanks for being on.
Thanks
for having me, guys.
And again, it's Woody's Winter Warm-Up.
Whiskey Warm-Up.
Where you can get Woody's Whiskey Winter Mule.
Wicked Whiskey Winter Mule.
Woody's Wicked Whiskey Fookie Doody Doody.
He sent some of those over last year. Those are good.
So it's probably got whiskey.
He's never asked us to guest bartend, though.
Ginger beer, probably, right?
For the better.
I don't know, Dave. You could break these things down like the cast of Bones.
We could use one of those today.
Mary said that. I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, Dave, you can't drink wine. You got to drink the mule.
Wow, there's a phrase that pays. Here's Alki with the traffic. Oh. 8:57. Sean Penn has a Rolling Stone interview with El Chapo. El Chapo was captured largely because Sean Penn made this connection, along with a Spanish actress who you're going to tell me the name of, Mexican movie star.
Yeah, she. I have to get her name up again.
And
yeah.
she was friends with El Chapo, or at least acquainted with El Chapo.
She was friends with El Chapo, and at one point, El Chapo wanted her to write a movie about his life.
So somehow she connects with Sean Penn. This is what we know so far. And Sean Penn wants to do either that story or a story about a drug kingpin. So he decides he wants to interview. This is the best we know the story now. He decides he wants to interview El Chapo. So this Mexican actress makes the connection.
Yes, she makes the connection. She makes the introduction somehow. He reached out to him. I think it was on social media. And then this woman allegedly
friended him on Facebook.
I don't know. Maybe it was a private message. Yeah. But she reached out to him.
Because if El Chapo's following you anywhere, including on Twitter, I think you ought to be nervous.
I think so, too. So she makes the introduction, and this is how this meeting happened. It's just bizarre.
So it took place somewhere near his home state, right? It wasn't where he was picked up before. It was nearby. Because apparently there was a raid last weekend where they thought they got him.
Yes.
And then they didn't. They relocated and he was here. So the timing of this is interesting because everybody thinks the interview just happened. The interview was what, in October?
Yeah, it was last year. Her name's Kate Del Castillo, and she's the Mexican actress who knew El Chapo or was friends with him and arranged this interview.
So Kate Del Castillo.
Yes, Del Castillo.
And Sean Penn go with whomever, and they go to meet El Chapo. There's a picture in Rolling Stone and at rollingstone.com of El Chapo Guzman shaking hands with Sean Penn.
Yes.
And they sit down and they have this interview. The interview was for what reason?
The interview is supposedly either Sean Penn is doing some sort of research, or so he says. You know, but he's done this in the past before with Raul
Researching
Castro.
A part?
Yeah. No. He's been controversially talking with either leaders, controversial people.
Counterculture types,
yeah, like
or
Raul
types
Castro,
that are not in line with the American government.
Hugo Chavez, yeah. He had a big deal with him. He went to Haiti and was kind of spouting his mouth off down there too. But this is just so it's not out of character for Sean Penn to do something like this. But his take on it was that he was doing some research for a role.
So everybody, we're getting a lot of texts this morning. Said Sean Penn ought to be in jail.
Yeah,
Sean Penn's harboring a fugitive. This does not fall under the category of harboring a fugitive.
No, he wasn't hiding him.
No.
Or helping him in any way. He just interviewed him.
And if you go to talk to a criminal, I don't know that you're legally compelled to go to the police in any way, shape, or form, according to American law. Maybe you should be. However, if you go, let's say I go and sit down with a criminal.
Okay.
And the criminal needs a ride to another hideout. Now I'm aiding and abetting.
Yes, you are, because
that's
taking
the difference.
Him. Right. Now, she's another story. They want to talk to her because, A, she knew where he was, and was she harboring him? We don't know. Was he staying at her house?
But here's the part I don't understand, and this is where legal minds would have to intervene here, is because this happened in October, and because Sean Penn didn't alert American authorities while he was keeping the secret, or for that matter, Jan Wenner, the guy that still runs Rolling Stone, Are they somehow legally, you know, because think about the amount of drugs, you know, El Chapo moves every day.
Right.
The amount of drugs El Chapo moved from last October until now. It's a question you could ask all of yourselves going to work this morning or wherever you are right now where you're listening. If I know where a wanted fugitive is, am I compelled to give that information to the authorities? I think you are.
You probably would be. I mean, that could be obstructing justice in a lot of ways.
And because there are indictments and crimes that are broken in New York and Chicago and all over, and the trial could end up being here, of El Chapo, there could be legal troubles for Sean Penn, certainly for the woman in Mexico.
Or, and if anything, too, the article that he published where Guzman's openly talking about he supplies more heroin and meth and coke than anybody else in the world, bragging about it, that could definitely be used in court.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a genius, does he?
No.
Really doesn't. The rest of this piece, of course, is Rolling Stone magazine. Is Rolling Stone magazine somehow legally liable for whatever damage has occurred here as well? By the way, El Chapo's back in the same prison he walked out of.
How about that?
The same prison.
Different cell.
Same prison he walked out of, where supposedly a construction company he owned that was nearby built the tunnel and put him out of prison
and put a motorcycle at the end of the tunnel.
It's unbelievable.
But he's in a different cell.
He's probably out right now. What is it?
Heroes.
Heroes.
Oh, nothing will drive them away.
It's about sandwiches.
We can be them just for one day.
This is one of your favorites?
This is definitely one of my favorites, yeah. It's on my phone, I think.
Just for one day.
It's like meaningful and stuff. Can you find something cheap and more crash, like crass, like fashion?
Yeah, my bad.
Like fashion. And I feel like we're missing one of the hits.
Fame.
Oh, maybe Modern Love.
How about Fame? Remember that? They have all the car commercials
fame.
Now.
Yeah, we played Fame top of the show.
Yeah.
What about Modern Love?
Modern Love.
Yeah.
That's good. Blue Jeans.
Wasn't that Neil Diamond?
No, that was Forever in Blue Jeans.
Oh, that was different. Yeah. Is Neil Diamond and David Bowie different?
Yeah, very different. Yeah,
a little bit. This much. 9:16. Want to welcome back Ross Cochran to the show. When did you actually do the last show?
December 10th. Yeah.
So you basically combined all your vacation, your personal days, your sick days.
Yeah.
And now you don't have another day off until 2017?
2017. There will be a new president before I am able to take another day off.
That is true.
All right. So let's recap. On December 17th, mm-hmm. you go in with Lauren for what's presumably your last doctor appointment because the baby is due on Sunday.
Right.
And there is a slight medical glitch that they say, let's get this going.
Yeah, basically, Lauren had high blood pressure, which is no real cause for concern. But after having it checked a second time and still having high blood pressure, the best way to treat pregnancy-induced hypertension, pregnancy-induced high blood pressure, is to not be pregnant anymore.
And so, it's bad for the baby. It's bad for the mom.
It can make things more complicated. Lauren labored for 28 hours without pain meds. Had the baby. And Abigail Grace has been home for 3.5 weeks now.
Yeah, so it was actually the 16th he went in on I forgot the day. The
yes.
16th you go to the doctor's appointment. The baby's born, Abigail Grace born on about 5 o'clock, was it?
Closer to 6.
6 o'clock on the 17th.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's 3.5 weeks old.
Yes.
I mean, we covered the stuff that matters, like I'm her favorite. you can just tell, you know, when I'm holding on to her and stuff, the way she looks at me, I'm clearly her favorite. But what's been the biggest change? Outside of the sleep.
The biggest change would probably be, so, you know, when I've said this a couple of times, and it was actually, I got this from a Hank Azaria documentary of all places, but when like a female is in a big city, there's that sort of like natural fear, that anxiety of, hey, something could happen.
And because you're a woman in a big city.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And we as guys don't have that, even though so many of us should.
Yeah. Sure.
You know?
Well, we're not that smart.
We're not that smart. I have that for her, and I have that for Lauren and her. So we were at church the other day, and someone walked a little too close to the stroller, and I got jumpy. As if I was being, you know.
Totally get it.
Yeah, someone was invading my own personal space.
You're not thinking about yourself anymore. You're thinking about your child and,
yeah.
And your wife.
Yeah, so there was that level of extension is new to me.
That's when you took, Dave, didn't you, became a yellow belt in jiu-jitsu after Stephen was born. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, that is exactly what prompted me to do that.
Yeah. Jiu-jitsu a thing, or did I just make that
yeah,
up?
Yeah, I don't know if a yellow belt is really what you want.
I think it's a thing. I think a yellow belt is one you wear if you're scared and you run the other way.
Yeah.
Now, you've had a parade of visitors.
Yeah, pretty much every day we've had at least one.
Which is a good thing. And
absolutely.
Also can be tough at times.
Sure.
It appears to me that my granddaughter, Abigail Grace, who prefers me, did I mention that?
I'm sure she does, yeah.
She appears to sleep 24 hours a day.
She, like most newborns, sleeps about 18 hours.
18?
Yeah.
She's up for 6 hours?
Yeah, depending on the day.
So
roughly.
When I've been over, is she pretending to sleep so she doesn't have to listen to me?
No. She's usually up between the hours of like 3 and like 8, you know, when so you're over in the afternoon, right? That's more prime sleeping time for her.
Yeah. Okay. And I think I told you this. One thing that I'd forgotten about is all the physical manifestations that a newborn baby goes through. No wonder they're tired.
Oh, yeah.
You know, trying to figure out how to breathe and arms fly.
Yeah, they got
to
grow.
Feet flying all over the place, not knowing why your feet or arms are flying all over the place.
Just realizing they're connected and then the next second forgetting that they're connected.
Do you freak out when people say, can I hold her? Do you go, oh, God, no.
Depends on the person.
If I said I wanted to hold her?
No, not at all.
Okay, if Dave Ennett said he wanted to hold
her? Depends on how much wine he's had.
Yeah.
No.
I haven't had any because I'm not allowed to.
Right. Right. We weren't actually talking about right now. We're talking about over to hold the baby. I can tell it's a little edgy for you. So, including grandparents and folks that have come from out of town.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see just how lucky Abigail is even before she remembers her own last name.
I just remember when your sister was born. Maybe it was jealousy or something, but you know, unlike you, who's had some babysitting experience and been around babies, and your wife being a very talented nurse at Children's Hospital.
Yes, if you can marry someone in the medical field, it helps a lot.
If you're going to have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but I was never that cool with Amy. I didn't want, you know, you were asking about, you know, and Amy was premature too, so she was a little fragile. So I was not cool with other people holding her. Because I figured I knew how to do it better.
Right, of course.
You get nervous.
And it's why your mom used to go, she's upside down.
You don't hold her like a football?
Well, by the time he showed up, definitely.
Yeah.
By the time he showed up, you got one under your arm. You're doing a one-handed diaper change. It's all good. Have you guys, that's a question I haven't asked him yet. I haven't asked him this off the air. Have you guys talked about having another child?
Steve.
She's 3.5 weeks old. Why do you want to wait now?
So that everyone can just understand who my wife is. After delivery, still in the bed that she delivered the child in.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking no more than 30 minutes later.
Uh-huh. And no pain meds.
And no pain meds after 28 hours of labor.
Uh-huh.
Was talking about having other kids.
No way.
Yeah. So I'm going to need to win that Powerball because I'm going to have 27 kids.
You're going to be pregnant
again.
You know
what is so weird? You do forget the pain.
Absolutely.
And it's the weirdest thing.
You mean
and
right why, after you forget the pain?
That's why people have more than one child. God did it that way. So you forget, and it is the worst until you get it again. And then you go, oh, now I remember. Oops, too late.
Right. Well, it's worth it because you.
It is worth it, but
the
man.
Big win at the end. Now, yesterday you sent a video to me because, you know, she likes me best.
Now, are you threatened that she peed on my father-in-law, Paul Sykes, first?
No, that was just to tell her that she likes me better than
Paul. So
Paul's a good guy.
Right.
Paul's the other grandfather?
Yeah.
Paul's a good guy. Like
the other grandfather.
Yeah.
The other grandfather.
Well, that's who he is. He's
well,
the other grandfather.
I know, but
the
other guy. Funny. It's like the others.
The outlaws.
So, but she's just saying to Paul, listen, I love you, but I like him better.
Got it. Okay.
But the video, now, again, you know, they say babies can't smile, right? Babies, it's all gas and everything. There's this video that Ross and Lauren sent where it's, I don't know, 10, 15-second clip maybe, and it's five different times she's distinctly smiling.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, she's a cute kid.
But my point is that she's smiling.
Oh, she's a genius. No, there's no question about it.
I just want to be clear. I just want to be clear. Because you as her father would expect that, but I could be more, you know, unbiased.
Yes.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
Yes.
You?
Yes.
Yeah, because you're more objective, right?
That's pretty great. It's pretty great.
Now, Steve, has Steve been over there every day, Russ?
No.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. You know why?
Okay. Why?
They changed the locks.
Yeah, right. The TRO went into effect.
I stand Abigail Grace is a TRO. And you're welcome.
I stay in a parking lot and I go, now? No, not now. Not now. Tomorrow?
He's got binoculars in the parking lot surveying.
They
no, they
on
have binoculars
system.
Looking out going, stalking. Is he here? Oh, man. Conference here again?
I actually went back to Chevy and I switched cars three different times so they wouldn't think I was in the S Blue.
Yes, man.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And you appear to be a much better dad than your father was already. And I thought your father was okay.
Yeah.
So, Abigail Grace is now 3.5 weeks old. She'll be 4 weeks old on Thursday. We'll be having a huge party.
Wait, when do we get to see her?
Yeah.
Yeah, when are you bringing her by?
Yeah, we haven't been stalking. You know, we're waiting for
Well, speak for yourself because I've been behind the...
I don't know yet.
When does it bring Abigail Grace to work day?
I don't know yet. I mean, it'll depend on, according to Dr. Most, if everyone here has had their whooping cough shots as well as their flu shots. Most
I had a flu shot.
Yeah. I had my whooping cough.
Yeah, we had the whooping when we were little.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. It'll be see.
It's too cold for her right now.
It is right now.
It is cold, yeah.
Yeah. It's too cold for me.
Maybe if we do the show on, like, hit all the elements on time once, maybe that'll be the reward.
Come on, well, Ross. We'll want to see her at some point.
Yeah, really.
We want to see her before she goes to college.
Ridiculous.
She's going to be in high school before we get to see her.
Dumb rule.
How about tomorrow?
Not tomorrow.
How about the next
tomorrow?
Day?
It's like 15 below.
How about the next day?
We can ride out. I just got a new car. We'll take it out
there.
Good.
Let's
do just
it.
Wait in the parking
we'll come
lot.
Over later.
Yeah, we'll just be in the parking lot. And Lauren's doing great. Yeah, that's the other thing. I used to ask about Lauren every time I talk to you. Now it's just baby, baby, baby.
Yeah. No, Lauren is doing very, very well. My mom made me laugh very hard when she said, you know, you guys are both look way better than I thought you would. I kind of expected Lauren to have a handle on things, but the fact that you have a handle on things is pretty shocking.
You're really chill about this. And I got to tell you, from, say, 16 to 20, not so much with you. So nice to see this turnaround idea. It's 9:25. We're back after this. .929 There's a 560-pound man biking across the country. You guys hear about this story? He's an Indiana artist. Eric Heitz is his name. He weighed 560 pounds when his marriage collapsed last summer. He's got one drastic measure he's pursuing to not only prove to his wife he could take his health seriously, but also to save his own life. His goal went viral on Facebook, and after a few weeks on the road, his wife's so impressed to make a lifestyle change that it's actually appearing that it's going to save their marriage. Many people thought he'd quit after getting a little publicity, but the Heights, who are currently, at least at the time of this writing, were in Tallahassee, Florida, before a daily ride to keep him going, and he's trying to ride enough miles to be the equivalent of riding across the country. 560 pounds when he started.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive. In fact, you get on a bike and just ride a bike would be amazing. Last time he weighed in, again, as of the writing of this, which was yesterday, and I don't know when the interview was, would have been a few days ago, but he had lost 80 pounds.
Okay. All
and right. If you're 560, 80 is not a lot.
That's good, though.
But it's a good start.
Yep.
So that's very impressive. And, you know, whatever your New Year's resolutions are, we hope you can stick with them because it's something that you really want to change. Here's a guy. I mean, there's a guy right there who goes, okay, I lost my wife. I'm about to lose my life. I'm not going to let it happen. He's doing something about it. I don't know how many bikes he's gone through in the process, but it's quite a story.
Good for him.
560 pounds riding a bike.
Wow.
Every day.
You hear stories like that, and you wonder, where does somebody who's obviously been dealing with this issue for a while of weight, where do they now find the resolve to go and do something like that and do something about it.
Yeah, and if you've got an emotional issue, and obviously if you're weighing 560 pounds, you do. Yeah. If you've got an emotional issue or an addiction issue, because I believe in food addiction as well, you know, it's you can't have somebody love you out of it. You can't have somebody threat you out of it. But maybe his wife leaving was when he decided, I've got to do this because this is what I want. I want to be alive and I want to save my marriage. So it's the Heights, if you want to follow them, H-I-T-E-S. If you Google Heights, bike rider, 560-pound dude on a bike, any of those, you will get that story. Meanwhile, we continue giving up stuff here on the show. No chocolate for me. Mary, you had chocolate this weekend?
I did.
What'd you?
On Sunday, I had some M&Ms.
Okay. All right. How many M&Ms?
I don't know.
Thousand?
Handful.
Just a handful?
Yeah.
Are you sure you quit at a handful?
I had to eat the rest of the red and green M&Ms from Christmas.
We have the light swinging back and forth over your head now, like you're in a room in the back part of the precinct as we're trying to get the real answer out of you.
I told you, but even during lunch you can eat the stuff you give up on Sunday.
What?
Yeah, you can.
I think that's a made-up rule.
Are you Catholic?
No. But doesn't that sound made up? Like, I'm going to give this up for 40 days. Oh,
no.
Except on Sundays at noon, and except on Fridays.
Well, what is there? I don't know this.
I thought that was a true rule.
So on Sundays during Lent, you can do whatever you're giving up?
I thought you could.
That's man-made.
Yeah. Right. We'll know about that.
Catholic lines are open now.
I've been doing it.
Catholic lines are open now, 312-981-7200. Is Mary making up Catholic stuff? We'll take those calls. The Pope actually is standing by as well. We'll get to both of those.
Oh, boy.
Dave, you haven't had any red wine?
I didn't know I could have white wine. I've had no wine of any color.
But these are asterisks or amendments to everything that you're doing.
Doc Most said red wine is good for you.
He did say that.
Right, but you're giving up all wine.
So I'm endangering my health by giving up the red wine, according to Doc Most.
Just don't do it.
Now, you've compensated with other booze.
I've been compensated.
Yeah, he's drinking the mules.
No, I haven't compensated.
I shouldn't have got hammered.
Whiskey Woody's Woody Whiskey Mule.
Right.
And Andrea has been doing the Seattle Sutton thing.
Yeah, I've been good. I only, yesterday we had family dinner. So, you know, as long as I eat the breakfast and the lunch, you can have a sensible dinner if you're gonna stray.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I've stayed on it very faithfully. I love the meals, which I'll tell you about in just a little bit, too.
Have you eaten anything bad?
Not really. I mean, I had a glass of wine.
I've had a lot of grape popsicles.
Oh, come on.
What?
Grape popsicles.
Oh, grape?
How about you?
Grape?
Have you had any candy?
Well, you know, I mean, I had the large piece of chocolate cake and the cookie.
That's okay.
And the ice cream.
That's not okay. You did
and,
not.
But you didn't have candy.
And, yeah, a bunch of candy bars. But I'm fine.
I'm fine. You cheated too then.
No, I didn't cheat.
You didn't cheat.
Popsicles aren't cheating.
You said you had candy bars.
I was lying.
Oh,
he's been good. He unlike you two scofflaws, we've stayed with our.
At least I admit it.
Kevin, too.
I've adhered to it.
This is really the big one. Kevin hasn't had fast food all month, and he's going to continue to the end of the month.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Oh, poor guy.
And just to test him, I took a McChicken sandwich, and I tied it to the back of the Ice Blue Impala, and I drove it around his neighborhood, and I just had him follow me. It was like Rocky chasing the chicken.
I am dying for a five-layer burrito from Taco Bell. Oh, man.
But you don't want to be like the guy that gives up drinking and then, you know, suddenly decides at midnight it's time to drink again.
No, I'm gonna battle through. I'm going to do this.
Okay.
Push through.
It's a few more weeks.
There you go.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck to all involved. Well, that'd be us, I guess.
Yeah.
Time now for the big story, and Andrea's here. Modern Love.
This is my favorite.
I've never seen a list of artists that were directly influenced by Bowie. You know, we heard the Madonna clip.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be pretty long.
It does. It's what I found strange, we were reading some of the tweets earlier. I did in one of the big stories, and Kanye West saying he inspired him.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is nice. Oh, it's strange.
But when I listen to Gold Digger, I don't hear a lot of David Bowie.
Madonna, too. I forgot Madonna inducted him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
in
1996.
Right?
Yeah,
sure,
of course.
By the way, last night in Gaga makes you David Bowie makes you think of Gaga.
Yeah,
Lady Gaga, one of the viral videos floating around from the Golden Globes is Lady Gaga bumps into Leonardo DiCaprio as she's walking to the stage.
Yes, did you see that?
And DiCaprio's expression is a big deal online. I don't know why. Isn't that the normal face you would make if somebody bumps into you? Like, oh, sorry.
I think so, too. Yeah, she bumped into him. By the way, she had a beautiful...
And he checked out her butt. Well, who wouldn't check out her butt when she walks by?
They slowed it down. She had this beautiful black dress on. They slowed it down. She bumped into his arm.
Yeah.
And he looked up like, oh, oops. You know how when somebody bumps you, you kind of move your arm. And then he kind of raised his eyebrows like in a, ooh, kind of a look.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's
and
Gaga.
That's the meme that has been going around all social media.
I'd check out your butt if you walk by.
I would check out yours too, I think. No, of course I would. Yours,
polite.
Dave's, totally. Yeah. It is pretty funny, though. You know, the gaffe last night, though, from Lady Gaga, she forgot to thank her boyfriend.
What, is there trouble?
I don't think. No, he was there. He looked great. Taylor Kinney? Tyler
not
Kinney?
Good.
Chicago Fire
not
star?
Good. Not good.
Didn't thank the boyfriend. It's always, you know, that should be the first thing you do. That Sylvester Stallone immediately said, I want to thank my wife and my daughters, and then he went on to thank the
cast. Remember Chad Lowe, Rob Lowe's brother, was married to a really famous actress, and I can't think of her name. And she won an Academy Award, and she didn't thank him, and they were divorced within a year.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Was it Hilary Swank?
Yeah, that's
that
it.
That was it, yeah,
it.
Hilary well done, Swank.
Right? Yeah, Hilary Swank.
Swank, yeah. Swanky.
I remember that.
And then how about Bennifer? Ben Affleck forgot to thank Jennifer Garner. And then I think it was the SAG Awards. And then when he won the Oscar, he did this whole marriage is tough and you have to, you know, instead of thank you, baby.
Was that when he was, you know, messing around with the help?
With the nanny?
Not
allegedly.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais last night. Now, I didn't catch this line. Ricky Gervais, before he introduces Matt Damon, says the only person that Ben Affleck has been loyal to.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brutal.
Yeah, tough.
Funny, but brutal.